to see, to believe in it. I know that it's true, cause I'm feeling it. I don't need no one to agree with it. There's just too much proof in my life.
Good morning, everyone. That ended kind of quite abruptly, huh? I was kind of shaking in my seat, and all of a sudden I heard the music go. Whew. Well, it's good to see everyone today. Good morning, Grace. I hope you had a great, great Christmas. And this is what I found out in the first service. I think they had such a great Christmas eating, they came in kind of sleepy this morning. So what I did is I told the maintenance this morning, I said, man, turn the air conditioning way up now that it's like 60 degrees and we're living like we're in Florida, right? And at least that'll maybe wake you up today. How many ate too much over Thanksgiving and Christmas? Yes, I can tell. A few of us are becoming archbishops. But what a joy it is to be a part of the Grace family. We want to welcome those who are with us online. If you can put your hands together as we welcome those who are online with us. Can you just put your hands together for them? Great to have you online with us today. I think we are now looking, the holidays are over, except for those who are like the New Year's crazies. How many New Year's crazies in the house? You love to watch the ball drop. You like to turn the music on. You like a reason to party. We're in church, all right? You can party with Jesus, right? But we're kind of looking to many of us. We're in this week of between Christmas and New Year's, and we call it the transition week, as commonly known, and that's the topic of the message today, the transition. But in that transition week, there are some of us that have had an amazing 2019 year. If you had an amazing 2019 year, give it up for Jesus, will you? Come on, can you make some noise for him? And yet there are some of us that have had some challenges in 2019, and we may still be in the process of God working, of God doing something in our life that sometimes is painful, sometimes it's mourning, it's grieving, whatever it may be. But we all typically, most people in this week, in this Christmas to New Year's, we begin to really to do one thing. We reflect on 2019. Because by nature, we want to know, what do I not want to do again? Yes. Because if you don't realize this, is if you plan not to do it again, We are human, and so we typically do it. I'll go to this side. I think they're awake. As humans, we typically have behaviors, and we learn to do things a certain way. And if we've done it in 2019, and we don't prepare ourselves to do something different, or to invite God in to do something new in our life to help us in that process, then what's going to happen is, on this side, we're going to do it. Amen. Thus, we're going to carry it into the year of 2020. And for most of us, there are some failures that we don't want to carry forward. There are some problems we don't want to drag into. There are some regrets that we typically don't want to think about or have our minds consumed about, because we're looking to a new year with hope, with destiny, with blessing, maybe even with strategies and goals to make sure that we don't redo what we've already done. To move forward in this transition, you ask me today, Pastor, how do I change? How do I transition into a new season of my life? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. We have a 21 days of fasting and prayer coming up. And for some of you, you're going, For some of you, go, woohoo, I lose weight. But really, it's about intentionally setting aside time or times in our life where we remove stuff. Now, I've talked to many of you this morning, and I guarantee you that most of us have gained more stuff over the last few weeks, right? Christmas presents. I mean, some of you just added to your stockpile in your garage, right? I was speaking with a gentleman this morning, and he goes, I had to get out in my garage to make room for my new stuff. But stuff, maybe even distancing a relationship with some people, places, or things. But it's time. Our fasting time is a time where we sometimes distance ourselves from the stuff, from the difficult, from the things that distract us, so that we can center our attention on times with our Lord. That we make space for God per se. That's really the easiest way to say it, is when we fast, we're basically pausing parts of our lives to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. Lord, I need more of you in my life. Lord, I need your help. Lord, my family needs your help. Lord, this situation needs your help. And Lord, I'm going to rearrange my whole schedule so that, Lord, I can get your attention and stay with me. You can have mine. You see, fasting is not so much about what we can get from God. It's about what God can get from us. Now that'll preach. Fasting is not about what we can get from God, because too many times we focused on God. What will you give me? What can you do for me? How can I get this? Or Lord, that breakthrough that I want in my life, that healing in my that I need in my life. And sometimes those are good things and good focuses. But if it's all just about getting something from God instead of entertaining time with Him, then we're losing half of what God has planned. You see, the big idea is this. It's in your notes. What would it look like if we pursued God in humility and we allowed Him to infuse Himself into every part of our life? You go, wow, that would be amazing. Can you say that with me? Say, wow, that would be amazing. Man, you're great actors. We'll put you online. Sign up today for next year's Christmas drama. So you see, fasting, and I'm going to skip some slides here for the sake of time, but fasting means to do without the human desires and in order to focus really on prayer. And prayer is basically just our conversing with God. And hopefully during these 21 days of fasting and prayer that I'm highlighting today, or on-ramping for Pastor to come back next week and really dig in the how-to and the what of fasting, is to say this, that as we prepare moving from one year to the next, one season to the next, one hope to a greater hope, listen, we need to be reminded that the God, our God, is the God of the impossible. Because some of you are asking the question, well, God didn't do it in 2019. He maybe didn't do it in 2018. You may have been wrestling with it since 2015 or 2010. But listen with me for a moment. God is the God of the impossible. And if we'll just rearrange the way we think and the way we feel, and sometimes the things that we deal with internally inside of our lives, and we'll make space for Him and say, Lord, in the next number of days, there's one thing that I want. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to spend time with you. Lord, I want you to reveal yourself to me so that I can know you. You see, He really doesn't need to know any more about us. We're all pretty ornery in ourselves. You don't believe me? Just look at your neighbor. Ornery. You see, our fasting is not to impress others with our spirituality. Can I just hang here for a moment? Why we don't fast? We don't fast to make ourselves feel more righteous. It's not about my righteousness. It's not about your righteousness. It's not about us looking better or higher than the one next to us. You see, in reality, fasting should be done in secret, because what is done in secret is where God gets your greatest attention. It's where you have less distractions and less things that are going on to distract you from hearing God's voice. You see, when it comes to fasting, let me give you the please don'ts. Please don't tweet or post or put on Instagram or any other thing that you are fasting. Don't advertise to the world. When you're fasting that meal at work and somebody asks you, aren't you eating today? You say, no, I'm just planning a time to spend with my Father. That's all you have to say. You see, because that's really what fasting is all about. It's about pushing away the things of this world and saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. Lord, I desire you. Lord, I give you myself so you can have all of me. I love what Jensen Franklin, he quoted as saying this about fasting. He said, fasting is part of the discipline of self-control. Now notice there's a semicolon there, and that's for all of us control freaks. It's a way of sharing that we depend on God alone, and we draw all of our strength and our resources from Him. It also, at times, is an expression of sorrow and deep repentance. And we'll talk about repentance today, but it's something that a person or community, the grace community, will do in order to acknowledge failure before God and seek His mercy. Next slide. You see, it's not just about knowing what fasting is. It's knowing how to do it the right way. Pastor Wayne will dig this over the next number of weeks about how we're going to walk through fasting, strategies and goals for fasting. And we would love for you to participate. And even as you leave today, if there's other resource information that you would like, you can stop by the information tent and you can pick up 101 reasons to fast and pray. And as preparation for the 21 days of fasting and prayer coming up, we would love to resource you with that. Doing fasting the right way. It's not just about doing fasting the right way, it's knowing the wrong way of fasting. Because if you know the wrong way of fasting, then you know the right way to fast. So what are some of the wrong motives for fasting? Some of us could approach, and I hopefully that after today, we won't approach God this way, is that we fast because we think we can manipulate God. We think that if we go through all the motions, if we do all the right things, if we pray at all the right times, if we do the things that we're supposed to do in a fast because we're trying to prove to ourselves or even to others that even we are righteous or whatever it may be, then we think that if we attain to doing things completely perfect, then we can manipulate God to receive what we want. That's a wrong motive. Another wrong motive would be that we fast because we think that it's all about attaining righteousness for ourselves. In other words, hey, this is my moment. I'm going to win my righteousness. I'm going to get my righteous card this January. I mean, I'm going to get it early. I mean, the world's going to know it because I fasted perfectly, and I'm going to prove to God, I'm going to prove to myself, I'm going to prove to others that, hey, I'm righteous. Become very prideful. Also, some of the wrong motives for fasting is we think that our actions, what we do, certainly before God, outweigh our motives, who we are. Because we are a performance-driven person. You see, we fast for the wrong motives when we use fasting as a diet plan. All the air went out of the room. You see, some of those may be some of the benefits of fasting, but if fasting in the next 21 days, if the number one priority is that you can lose this turkey and this whatever Christmas food and desserts that everybody's shoved into your face over the last 3 or 4 weeks, that, hey, man, I'm going to lose weight, woo-hoo, then in reality, if that's our focus is off. Our motive is off. It's a good thing we get the benefits of pushing away the plate and not eating or maybe drinking more to flush kind of our system out or to reset our bodies. But the ultimate motive is to have God's attention and for God to have our attention. You see, our fasting, if it's wrong, can be all about what I can get from Him instead of about what I can give Him. Today, I've got a lot of nuggets. I've got a lot of material, so I'm going to help those who are following me with a meeting. I'm going to help you. There are four actions. There are four attitudes. There are four things that I think that we need to consider in this season, this transition between Christmas and New Year's before we go into the fast. And you'll fill them in on your outline, and your outline will be completely full, all right? Number one, we've got a review. We've got to review where we've been. We've got to review what God has done. We got to review the present. What is God doing in me now? So that as we prepare for the fast ahead, then we will have a sense of knowing where we are and what God is doing. And then as God begins to speak to your life and God begins to show you things during the 21 days of fasting and prayer, it'll begin to bring some clarity to your life. Now, I know there's not one person in this room that would like more clarity from God. I'd say all of us. We all have things that confuse us. We all have things that sometimes overwhelm us. We all have things sometimes that feels like that, man, we just don't know what to do. There's that review. We review our past, our present. We review and look forward to what we want to do ahead. Number two, we got to come to a place where we repent. Because like it or not, there are just some attitudes, there are some actions, there are some behaviors, no matter how good you look on Facebook, no matter how good you look in front of the mirror, no matter how good I look today from the platform or how good I look tomorrow, there are always things in our lives that we are processing, that we're going through, and sometimes we have hang-ups and mix-ups and failures and things that sometimes we don't like to take responsibility for. Until we come to those moments where we are broken before God. We come to those moments where nothing else will satisfy and nothing else will do. And I call it those breaking moments with God, that God will let us run around like a crazy chicken until we come to a point we hit something and it breaks us or it cracks us and we realize that, Lord, I really need you because I can't do it by myself. That layer of selfishness, that layer of pride. We'll talk about that in a little bit when it comes to humility, but there are layers in our life in 2019 that maybe God's begun to try to do something in our lives, and we wonder why there are things that keep repeating themselves. There are some spiritual things that you keep going through again, and usually in a fast, everyone's going to go through this, so you're not the only one in the room. Because you're going to be in a place where you are transparent before God, and God speaks to you about the areas where we need. Nobody needs help. That's why we're here today. We're not here. We are a perfect, imperfect church. Look at your neighbor, say, you are perfectly imperfect. That's why you're here. But as you walk into the fast and as we begin to review our lives, we need some some glasses, some that really magnify, some that don't magnify so much because we don't want to see it again. But God wants to review things in our life because there are things that he wants to process through our lives or out of our lives so that as we move forward, we can learn to walk through that battle or that struggle or whatever it may be so God can bring victory. You see, that's the key theme for our 2020 year is victory. And the great thing that I see is I'm looking across the auditorium and I'm looking into the screen of those who are online that don't discredit those failures. Don't discredit those hard places in your life because 2020 is a year that we are praying, we are fasting, we are believing that we'll make room for God. God will come in and he'll do the impossible in your life. Now I'm preaching. In Mark chapter 10, if we serve the God of the impossible, then God wants to be the God of the impossible in your life. I went on Facebook yesterday, the day before, and I'd just been praying. I had a sense that I just want to throw something out there because there were some people, some friends of mine that maybe I needed to take into 2020 and put them on my prayer list, my regular prayer list. I had some that publicly stated what I could pray for them about or what victory they were wanting in 2020. But can I tell you that more than posted publicly on my Facebook, I received private messages. Hello. And I was amazed for a few moments. Can I be real with you a little bit today? I knew this is why I just sensed to go on Facebook and to just ask for my friends who many times won't tell anybody what they want prayer for. But I had friend after friend that amazed me because if I looked on Facebook and I looked at their history of 2019, their life looked perfect. They're saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? My marriage is on the rocks. And I'm like, what? Pastor, would you pray for my son or my nephew? They're on drugs and they're in rehab. And if God doesn't intervene, I think they're just going to do it over again. And I'm thinking, the things that we don't tell people, the things that we kind of push under the covers, and sometimes we even do that with God. We push things under the cover because maybe God really doesn't care, and I've asked God, and he hasn't done it. God, he'll do it for them, but he won't do it for me. Can I tell you today, God is your God of the impossible. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been. And he's inviting you to come close to him because those who draw near to God, the word says God will draw near to them. And if God's going to draw near to you as you draw near to him in 2020, I'm looking across the audience today. I'm looking into the screen of the TV and I'm seeing faces and families and marriages and sickness and disease where God's about to step in and to do some amazing miracles in 2020. And your name and your life is written in the story. So number one, we review our past and our present, but let me just stop here and say this. Don't ever lose your heart to be grateful. As bad as life gets and as bad as things get, don't ever let go of your praise. Don't ever let go of your gratitude to the Lord for the good things that God has done. Because if we put all of our attention on the things where we are broken and needed and all these other things, many times they'll weigh us down and we become depressed, right? Hello? So when we review and we review today, don't forget the good things God's done for you. And moving forward, every time you encounter a difficult situation, this is what I try to do, and I'm not saying be like me, but it helps. I immediately say, okay, Lord, what did you do here? Oh, you turned that situation around. When I encounter a sickness or a bad report of the doctor, I look back at my own life and remember when I was due for surgery at the age of 10 and was scheduled to have like the fourth ear surgery for my eardrums to fix them and the drainage and the problems I had with allergies and all these things. And I went on a Sunday morning to the altar at the end of service and just asked my pastor, Pastor Benny, would you pray for me? I'm scheduled for surgery on Tuesday. And I remember feeling something on the inside of my head, where three or four other surgeries, God didn't do anything, but I felt like God had stuck his fingers in the middle of my ears. And on Tuesday, I show up for surgery, and for some reason, the doctor says, I want to check your ears before we go into surgery to make sure we know what we're doing. He goes and checks my ears. Guess what? He can't find any problems. He calls in the nurse or the assistant and says, here, can you look at this? Maybe I'm not awake. It was like the first surgery of that day. And she goes, well, I don't see anything. I don't see no redness. I don't see any fluid. I don't see any damage. I don't see any scars from busted eardrums. I don't see anything. This kid's pretty healthy. What are we doing surgery for today? Those are the moments. If I would have gave up and said, forget it, I wouldn't even went up for prayer that Sunday. I just scheduled for surgery and did the routine. Okay, the doctor's going to do this, this, and this. Count back from 100. Eventually, you'll fall asleep. You'll wake up. And everything will be sore, whatever it may be. And they tell you what not to do, what to do, and all these good things. But God had a different plan. Amen. Can I just pause for a moment? And I know I'm off script, but I just sense something here today. God's about to do something off script in your life. Whatever you have scripted out, this year God's going to step in to those unscripted moments in your life. And he is going to arrange and move things. Now this is a prophetic side. He's going to do something that only God can do to prove to you that he's your God. Give a hand clap of praise. I think that's good enough to praise the Lord about. Number one, we review. Number two, we repent. The definition of repentance is the activity of reviewing one's actions. Again, looking back and feeling contrition or regret for our past wrongs, which is accompanied by a commitment to change for the better. In other words, changing my way. Owning to God that, God, I've done wrong here and I want to change my behavior. And I really am sorry, and I'm sorry enough to the best of my knowledge not to do it again. Now, Lord, would you help me with this area of my life? You see, too many times I think we take God for granted. We want to shove things off him and give to him, say, oh, we gave it to God. He's going to fix it. In essence, God just wants to help us fix it. Especially our tendencies and behaviors, right? Yes. Acts 3:19. It's in your notes. Luke writes here, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out in times of. Now, I want you to underline this in your notes, and I want you to say to me. So you repent. We turn away from the behaviors, the patterns, the things that we do wrong. We turn to God so that our sins may be wiped out, that times of, say that word with me. That's what renewal is all about. That's what new hope is all about. That's what healing's all about. That's what the power of God is all about, that God wants to come in and he wants to refresh. So as we kind of move in towards this fast that's coming up, then we need to remind ourselves that if we'll review, and secondly, we'll repent, we'll begin to repent of the things that God's revealed to us today, it'll make our fasting time much more refreshing. Great word. Three is that we humble ourselves before God. You see, there are many biblical examples of pride and consequences that are the opposite end of being humble in the lives of individuals, and they offer valuable lessons even for our own lives. It amazes me as I read the Bible. If you'll read it, you'll find this out. Read it like cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. Typically, when somebody really messes up or somebody really has a humbling experience, it happens quickly, like in one chapter. It's not like you have to read the whole book and maybe like, let's just say, for instance, the book of Matthew, and you got to read 28 chapters to realize, how do I become completely humble? Typically, we learn from the mistakes of others. That's one great reason why it's a good thing to read the Bible, so we learn not to make the mistakes others make, right? Hello? I have a mental recorder that I had. Growing up, I have 3 older siblings and 2 younger siblings. I had a mental recorder. Don't do this, it's going to cost you with mom. Don't do that, you're going to get it. You know what I mean? Humble ourselves. If you look in Scripture, there's a man by the name of Uzziah. And we read this in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. I think it's in your notes, but it's on the screen here. And as a young man, he learned what it was to humble himself, to come before the Lord, to realize God was big and God had great things for his life, and God needed to be number one. And it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You see, if you want to prosper in 2020, if we want to prosper in this relationship with God through this 21 days in fasting and prayer, if we'll seek the Lord with all of our heart, we'll push aside the things that we need to push aside. We'll push aside the plate. We'll make time. We'll schedule it. We'll make it happen. And we'll say, Lord, this is my time for you. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to seek you. If we'll do that, we'll prosper. I love what James says. I think it's in your notes, James 4, but it's on the screen here. James 4, verse 6 through 7, it says, God opposes the proud. That's the opposite of being humble. God opposes the proud, but he shows favor, boy, you ought to underline that, to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Next verse. James continues to pin on. He says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Here's the big word. Say it big and loud with me. If there's anything that I say today, this is like the big word of the day, the key word. It's a humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, humility really is a spiritual discipline that must remain if we're going to allow God to be involved in our personal lives, in the ministry that he's entrusted to us in a big way. And if we stay humble, listen, if we stay humble, God will prosper us. If we stay humble, it doesn't mean you're not going to face difficulty. It doesn't mean you're not going to face problems. But I guarantee you're going to face it different. Because you know that as we have humbled ourselves before God, we have put God as number one, as priority, as able. And he will be present to do what he says he will do. I love what John R. Scott says in a quote. He says, pride is your greatest enemy. Humility is your greatest friend. You say, Pastor, how do I stay humble? Again, like Uzziah, we need to seek the Lord in everything. We need to resist the temptation to become or to be selfish and prideful. Can we be real honest and say, that's every one of us? Can I prove it to you for a moment? Somebody comes up to your car and asks you for money. The first thing you do is you inspect them. They're a beggar. They have money. They could go get a job, right? And I'm not saying that's wrong, but we have this selfish review is, I think sometimes is a way of how can I get out of giving something? can become selfish. And we'll be tempted to become selfish and prideful. But you see, if we fast to humble ourselves, we will draw close to God because we need Him. Lastly, and I'm closing here, and that is number four, we pursue God. This fourth action, this fourth attitude is an attitude of pursuit. James 4:8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. Meaning that if we'll make a pursuit towards God, sometimes our relationship with God doesn't grow because we don't put any intentionality to it. We go through the motions, right? Anybody with me? We're scheduled people because that gives us success, right? We get to work on time. You put in this, you get this in return. And we're so success-driven in our jobs and in our world to do all these things, at least if it doesn't bring the success maybe that others want, at least it somehow brings progress. But in this 21 days of fasting and prayer, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to pursue God. But if you're going to pursue Him differently than you've ever pursued Him before. If you've never fasted a meal, fast a meal a day. If you've never prayed more than, Lord, help me and give me this, if you'll just take 5 minutes and you'll use Scripture and pray a Scripture through. Start at maybe 5 minutes a day. Maybe you don't pray regularly. Start at 5 minutes a day and find prayer Scriptures. Pray them over your life. Put your family's names in them. Put your name in them. And pray those Scriptures over you. I think you'll find that you'll begin to see the reflection. You'll begin to see the image of God. You'll begin to see God in a more powerful way in your life because you brought Him in into view. You brought Him into vision. You see, in pursuing Him, we fast to deepen our relationship with God our Father, to draw near to Him. Stand with me today. I want to close. There's really three types of targets I want to hit today. Number one of the things that's going to help you pursue God in your life, you hear this in many forms, but I'm going to say it this way, is if you're going to pursue God, commit to pray. Commit to pray every day. Pray different than you've ever prayed. There'll be resources to it coming in the number of weeks. Use those and try those. It'll be different. It won't be normal. But just do them for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks and then watch things change. Secondly, read the Bible. Read His Word and just don't read it as James says. Do what it says. And if you say, man, this is hard. You read this verse and it says, forgive them. Then if you have a hard time forgiving people, ask God's help to forgive them. Just do what it says. Thirdly, I'm the group's pastor, but I'm going to throw this nugget in. Find freedom in your life by joining a group. You see, some of us have friends and we have family. We have people that have filled our life, and that's about all we think we want and need. But if we're going to pursue God in a different way, one of the great things is to make space for some new people. You always say, Pastor, I'm not as outgoing as you. I don't think I can handle more. Maybe take a break from some of the ones that are immersed in your life and make room for some new people. You're going to find out that you need them and they need you. My wife and I had a gathering with our freedom group from the fall for Christmas. The end of the night, we went around, we talked about what freedom meant to them. Can I tell you what one of the most common theme comments was from that group? And ask the group, I'll give you the group names, you can go up and ask them. They said, I don't have friends, I have family. They were people I didn't know. I maybe knew of them, didn't know about them. But I have family because they've walked through some hard times with me over the last number of 12 weeks. So listen, some of you are going to walk through some hard times. How about trying to walk it through some new people who will walk with you? Help find freedom. Thirdly, discover purpose. Some of us today, we need to go through growth track. You say, well, Pastor, I've served on growth track. Well, you're not serving on team. Poke your neighbor. Say, if you're not serving on team, come on, poke them. Say, that's your next step. Nothing like serving next to some crazy people. They make life interesting. Lastly, by pursuing God, God's going to help you make a difference in your world. He's going to help you share your story with others around you. And you're going to see many of your friends and your family, if you'll do that, come to Christ, because that's God's heart. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you today. I thank you that, Lord, your plans for us are Jeremiah 29:11 kind of plans. Plans to prosper us, to give us a hope, and to give us a future. Lord, we can see it. Lord, I can sense it today. I can feel it. There's something different in the room. There's things that you're doing in our lives today. And Lord, we're going to see it happen in 2020. Maybe you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your life. You know, you have no idea what it's like to converse with the God of heaven, the one who made you. Will you just pause today and just pray with me? Say, Father, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. I realize today I've done a lot of things wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. Help me to make it right, Jesus. Lord, I believe you died for me. You were put in a borrowed tomb. And in 3 days you rose again. You did that to prove your love for me. And I believe today you are my Savior and my Lord. I receive you. Give your best to me as I give my best to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, there's a connection card in front of you. Put your name on that. Write down, I committed my life, or I recommitted my life to Christ. Take that to the red information tent. They'd love to give you a Bible. They'd love to help you with your next steps in your journey and how to grow your faith, how to get connected with a group. Can we just put our hands together and just thank God for giving us another great Sunday? As we book in 2019, Pastor Wayne will be back with us next week. Let me pray a blessing over you, Lord. I pray blessing upon your people. Lord, may you make your grace shine upon them always. Lord, may you be good to them. And Lord, in the coming days, may they truly understand in a bigger way just how great you are. And Lord, I'm sure you're going to remind them how great they are. Lord, we love you today. I bless them. Go with them, I pray, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week. Again, pick up those 101 reasons to fast and pray at the tent. God bless you. Have a great week.